Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
We are creatures of habit, and getting out of the rut of our habits becomes more difficult if we are blind to them. Ephesians 4:22 says, "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Sometimes we need to take a good look at our conduct and examine what needs to be renewed. Today we are discussing how busyness robs us of the best. So join in the conversation as we reveal some ways we are blind in busyness. Janie, last week we discussed the natural way we become trapped in a lifestyle of busyness.
We really set a good foundation that most busyness is because we are wanting to live for the Lord or for self, but we are wanting to do it in our own strength and with our own agenda. And that usually comes about because of two blindnesses that a Christian can have. One of them is our lack of security in Christ. So we need to feel accepted. We need to feel worthy. We need to know that we have done what God wants us to do. There's a lot of shoulds and woulds and musts and those type of words in our vocabulary. And then the other reason that we get off track as a Christian that loves the Lord, that wants to do His will, is because we still don't have our identity established with Him in knowing He is sufficient. You know, He can get the laundry done when we don't think we can. He can handle the other adventures in our life when we're trying to schedule them moment by moment. And He's saying it's not a life or a death situation. So trust me, prioritize to spend the time with me. Just don't block me off on a calendar, but keep me in your heart and next to your side 24/7. And then we can talk later in the show about how we maybe can block a little time off and still not be working by the calendar.
And you know, some of my struggle is that I do push things off until later, intending to go do things later. But something always gets in the way of that later task. Yeah. So how do we prevent that from happening?
Well, we first of all think about the word called procrastination. Because you're basically, if you put something off, that's what procrastination is. You put something off that could or should be done now.
What if I can't do it right now? So I'll do that later. Because I'm not putting a scheduled time on that? Is that why because I'm saying later and not scheduling a time to do that? Is that why it's procrastination?
Well, yes. Anytime you try to put something off until later, no matter what the reason is, it's really in the mind of God like a subtle rebellion. And that's hard to hear.
My laundry that's sitting in four different baskets that I cannot get to because I've got to go pick up the kids, and I say I'll do that later, that's still procrastination and rebellion?
Well, when you put it that way, here's what happens. Now, you're going to go get the kids. Mm-hmm. But then do you come back and then immediately pick up and do that task, or
I get
a phone call?
No, I got to get dinner ready.
And then you've got to get dinner ready. So procrastination now has been exceeded by 5 hours, and now you have to get prepared.
Or 5 days.
Right. Okay. So then what do we do? Let's categorize two types of busyness.
Okay.
There is the busyness that we inflict upon ourselves because of our lack of security, our lack of identity, and so
or lack of discipline, maybe.
Well, and that goes right into the ways of self. Anything that lacks discipline, and when I say self-discipline, I don't mean that we're going to just do it in our strength. Anytime you and I have challenging conversation, there's a foundation, and that is if it's not done by and through and to the Lord Jesus Christ via the agency of the Holy Spirit, it's going to crash, it's going to burn, and it's going to not account to anything. So with that as our foundation, then we have to, if we have to put something off for the moment, then we must immediately prioritize it, because it needs to be done, or you wouldn't be having the thoughts of getting the clothes put aside. You don't want to go out and buy new clothes because you don't have time to get the clean clothes folded and put away. So you run to a store to buy something to get the kids through. So let's just say that if we procrastinate in any degree, then we need to start to learn how to prioritize.
Okay.
And put the two P's together. If we procrastinate for any length of time, then we need to stop and sit down and say, how do we start to prioritize so we don't get ourselves in this stressful situation? Because Sharon, if you put something off for 5 days, it's going to eat on the conscience. It's going to eat on the soul. It's going to make you more irritable because other people keep coming in with their agendas, postponing your objective. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you'll have your own little unique self problem with self-irritation.
A pity party, too.
Everybody's asking you to carry their load. Okay, so, but there are many of us who are already in what I might call a max capacity of how you're living your lifestyle. You have a husband who needs to work a job and sometimes maybe extra just to keep everything balanced within the family income. You have a ministry, you're a wife, you're a mother, you have many multiple different relationships going, all that need and desire your attention. So what do we do as people who want to unbusy, but we just can't pull the plug on unbusyness?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to live in the mode that we're living in. So what can we change if we can't change our circumstances?
Okay. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
What can I change since I can't change my circumstances, Janie?
Then we change our attitudes so that anger, anxiety, frustration, irritation, all of those things that are going to drag us down.
Because we usually take those things out on the people we love the most, our kids, our husbands.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who gets the brunt of that frustration and irritation.
And then if you don't want to lash out at them, then what happens? You become passive. You can become inactive. You can retreat from them and not with a good spirit.
Right.
But you're trying to keep from having strife and contention in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll retreat. They'll feel the loss because mm-hmm. you are mother, you are wife, and they are all needing their intimacy of a relationship from you. So we really have to work on, let's just say, prioritizing our attitudes. And of course, you and I both know that's going to come from the scriptures.
Right.
Now, I don't want to sound contradictory today, but I do want to give us a little bit of some practical examples.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit's with us 24/7. Mm-hmm. All right. But there can be times when we are in communion with Him, but there are times when we have to say to our family and our children, I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to close the door. And unless somebody is dying or there is a fire in the kitchen, do not knock on my door. Now, it's not like you're scheduling a time with the Lord because He's with you 24/7, but it's a time that in any marriage, if you don't have time with just the two of mm-hmm. you, that you have to usually make happen. It doesn't just
pop in there.
Know, when you're dating, it's kind of spontaneous and you're just so overwhelmed with each other, you just can't tear each other apart. But then life causes you to have to be responsible. And that's where you have to then persevere. Let's use the word persevere.
Okay.
To keep the quality and to keep the life that we're talking about living, being emptied of self, being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to purpose and persevere to have that time to where we can come apart and let the Spirit speak. And I keep going back, and I hope I'm not taking liberties with this particular passage, but there is a passage, and I'm trying to think where it is. Yes, it's in 1 Kings 19:11-12. We just mentioned it last week. But the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks to pieces. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. Now, you talk about getting your attention. Mm-hmm. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, devastation, heat, pressure, tension. But the Lord wasn't even in the fire. All of these external pressures, the Lord wasn't in. But a still, small voice. And that is how we have to learn to listen and live in life, is being quiet enough, no matter what it takes, for Him to speak, because He's not speaking to us as to how He wants us to unbusy in the catastrophes that create more busyness, mm-hmm. but in the still, small voice.
And this is basically why you're telling us that we need to schedule time away with Him, to hear Him, to be quiet before Him. That way we can hear that still, small voice, because He's not in the loud, thunderous
yes, and
noises around us.
And that doesn't mean that you're putting Him on the shelf and you're not dealing with Him the rest of the time. He's with you. I've started what I call a word picture. I do like to figure out word pictures in my mind. And so when I wake up of a morning, I tell the Lord, I know that He is right there. And we deal with waking up together, all right? Mm-hmm. But then the Lord moves to the study in our house to wait on me for us to have communion. And then I'll say, okay, Lord, I'll be there in just a minute. Just let me get these things down on my list so I don't forget them. And I get them on the list, and then I'm thinking, oh, you know, I need to better check this out to see if it's going to be available that I can get out today and get that done. Lord, I'll be there in just a minute. And then the phone rings, and somebody is really stressed. Well, Lord, you know you want me to do good deeds, and you know you want mm-hmm. me to be available to mm-hmm. give comfort to other people. Lord, grab a book. I'm coming. And the next thing you know, I look at the clock and I'm thinking, we've got to be at this appointment. Mm-hmm. And as I walk out the door, it's like I look over to the study and the Lord's saying, I'll be here. I'm still waiting. And my heart is torn that something that was so precious and vital to my survival,
right,
I have let sit there patiently waiting. While He really could have taken care of those things, if I had really waited on Him first, He might have changed some of the things. Maybe the phone wouldn't have rang.
Right.
But maybe He's just saying, okay, Janie, how important is it with you to always start with me? Because I'm in you, and now I'm here with you, and you are, without wanting to, you're starting to schedule me, Janie.
Right,
and
right.
And yes, we need to have those times, but you put me first. And that's happened, I think, with you this week. And God gave you a victory, a wonderful victory, after you had been tested. And He tested me and yet showed me a pattern that He says, this is the way I want you to walk with me. Now, not everybody may want this same pattern.
Right.
But we can share part of that today and see if it has meaning for people.
And I've always said it's very important for us to spend that time with God. And like you said, maybe that word picture would help somebody just to make that a habit.
You know,
to help them get in that routine, get in that habit, if they'll visualize, okay, the Lord is sitting, waiting for me to come commune with Him. That would give someone a way to create a new habit in their heart and mind.
But because we're not as familiar with dealing spirit to spirit, because we usually 99% of the time are dealing with spirit to spirit in a body that we can see. I really wonder if he actually took his physical body and sat in my living room. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would probably be so odd, I'd be flat on my face. Mm-hmm. And that's the attitude we need to have, because in reality, right, that is reality.
Right.
And because we are not that familiar in how we commune in intimacy, spirit to spirit, then we push him aside.
Right.
And yet the Bible says that we must worship God Almighty in spirit and truth, or we are really not communing with them.
Right. And so, well, one of the things that the Lord showed me this week was that, you know, we talked about the power cords and being plugged in and plugging God in and all of that stuff. And when I was talking about that later in the week, one of the things that he brought to mind was that I'm plugging stuff in along with him, but he should be my source.
Oh.
You know, he's the power source that we should be plugging everything else into.
And you're trying to find the right.
And I'm trying to find a plug to plug him in. and he's saying, oh, wait, you know, yeah, I'm the source.
Yeah, good point.
And
good
so
point.
He is the surge protector, if you will, that has all the plugs, you know, that we plug everything into. He should be our power source.
And he is protecting us, isn't he, when we let him?
Yes. When we plug things into that source, yeah, he will protect us.
So you're saying that with every door of opportunity, the first thing we need to do is to check our source.
Exactly.
And see if that door of opportunity is really coming from the true power source, or if it's coming from the wrong plug-in or the wrong adapter, mm-hmm, or whatever other terminology or gadget you might want to be describing.
If we plugged into our own power source. And I think we've done that. I've done that. I know I have. I've done that so many times, is plug into my own power source and I will get this done and I will make sure that happens. And then 9 times out of 10, you know, if you've got too many things plugged into your own power source, you're going to forget something.
You're going to blow a fuse.
Something's going to get lost.
Yes, yes.
So,
well, and then there's a point, too, in checking our power sources that I believe many times that we are taken by our own blindness. And that is the enemy's watching our whole procedures and lifestyle. And as cunning as he is, many times he sends a door of opportunity as a temptation that's from him. He will usually send us his best before the Lord sends his best. And that's because the enemy usually likes to send things with great excitement or great fanfare or a great earthquake or a great something very visible, something very external. I was thinking about one thing of a door of opportunity this week, and boy, my mind started racing, and before you knew it, I had the whole world saved, Sharon.
We got it all planned out.
We could do this and this, and this would work here, and this would go there, and we could have this person here. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, you're making me tired, Janie. That might be your good enthusiasm, but it's not my still small voice. So I asked the Lord, okay, how can I always be assured that when I recognize something is good, but it's not tracking right? I know you had that some things would work this week at the radio station, mm-hmm, but the tracking for some reason was, mm-hmm, not right.
Right.
Then what can we do spiritually? And the first thing he pointed out to me was, when you have an opportunity, what is your first emotional response? Is it the excitement and the grandeur? And those things are not wrong in and of themselves. But do you have a quiet confidence?
They shouldn't be the driving force.
That's right. So what happens to my emotions and my senses and my thinking if it's really a door from him? Do you know what is going to show up? There's going to be a quiet confidence. Because the Bible says, in your quietness and your confidence is your strength. All right? And then I'm going to think about this opportunity and say, do I respond to that opportunity with the fruit of the Spirit? I had an opportunity this week that was not convenient, but I sensed that I needed to attend to it. It was not timely, and I knew that the other people involved were taking care of their needs first and then bringing me in at their convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yet the qualifications fit because this individual needed to be comforted. And the Bible says, with the comfort that I've given you, it's just not for you to enjoy, but it's to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
This person has a status that the Lord has told us to attend to if we have true Christianity. This person needed someone to help them be encouraged and to bear their discouragement and to give them encouragement.
But how you leave to go do that, do you do it in your own strength? Do you do it in your own power? Do you do it with your own confidence?
No.
So that's what you're saying, though, right?
Yeah, but the way you do it is you just, the first thing I thought was, heart, can you do this out of love, no matter what it might inconvenience you? And my heart thought a minute, and it said yes. And then, can you do it with joy? You know, the little course that we had when we were children, joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last, and that spells joy. And my heart said, yes, yes. And do you want to show an act of kindness? I really do. So the inconvenience, some of the other issues that were going to have to be taken care of, became secondary because the fruit of the Spirit was willing, and so the mindset was brought into making the choice with joy. That, Sharon, is just a change in attitude.
Okay.
Circumstances didn't change, but waiting on Him, listening to the still small voice, and going through the procedure that we're talking about today, was able to do in the strength. And it was a delight, a blessing, and a encouragement. Everything that I had hoped for, God succeeded in His strength because I listened to the still small voice and did my checks with the fruit of the Spirit.
So even though we can't possibly unplug and readjust some of the things in our lives, doesn't mean that we're in sin. It just means that we need to readjust our attitude.
Yes, reprioritize, get our priorities right.
And do you think that maybe some of those things that we are plugged into, we could go through that checklist with the Lord and find out if that's something He wants us to continue?
I think it is a safety measure. It's like putting on the right equipment if you're going to do rock climbing. You know, you've got your safety gear.
Mm-hmm.
And getting your habits formed that will keep the conscience strong by staying in the Word, looking at the evidence of what a Spirit-controlled life looks like, and then using our volition to make the choices.
Because we always put that last, don't we? If there's anything to cut out of our day, it's God.
Well, and there's such a beautiful verse in Timothy. It says He remains faithful even when we don't.
Because we know He's always there.
But you know what? We get really upset with people who abuse one another in life. And we should get as upset with ourselves when we abuse the grace of God, the kindness of God, the loyalty. I could go on and on with His character. We abuse that when He's made it available so that we can walk in His power. And then, like you said, we put Him out, at least in the living room, or maybe we put Him back out on the back porch. And we need to bring Him back in and say, intimacy with You is a first priority. Even if other things don't go right, we're going to have the intimacy with You and by the Spirit.
That's right. He must come first. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.